All right. Good morning. Today's daf is daf mem dalet. We're going to really make a push today. The daf today, a lot of interesting topics, but the truth of the matter is it's very straightforward in terms of the topic, and it is one continuous topic all the way to the bottom of mem gimel mem aleph. So today we're going to at least make our way back to mem gimel and hopefully cover mem gimel mem aleph in an attempt to make it back to where we should be. We started ourselves on the bottom of mem aleph amud beis, where the Gemara now, we're in the middle of a discussion of Havchana. We need to establish paternity. So, as we learned back in the Mishnah, on the bottom of Mem Alpha Mem Aleph, the Yavama should not do Chalitza nor do Yibam until 3 months have gone by. 3 months have gone by in order to make sure that she was not impregnated by her former husband. Now, in the world of Yibam, so as we know, there's a very serious concern, because if she was impregnated by her previous husband, so that means that the previous husband did not die childless, and then there's no mitzvah of Yibam, and then that means that she's prohibited to their brother. So that's by Yibam, it's a very serious issue in terms of identifying who the father is, because we're talking about an issue of arayas. And what about in general? Is it important to establish paternity in general? So the answer is yes. The Mishnah says that in any marriage, one has to identify paternity, and therefore when a woman exits one marriage and enters into another marriage, there always has to be a waiting period of 3 months in order to establish paternity. Why is that so important? So there are obvious reasons, which truth of the matter is we can figure out on our own, but we're going to see some Gemaras today responding to that very question of why it's so important to establish who the father is. Yesterday, the last thing we covered was the ksuva of the Yavama. Interesting topic. The Gemara doesn't spend a lot of time discussing it, but the ksuva of Yavama is unlike the ksuva of most women. Most women, or I should say rather all women, upon the conclusion of their marriage, be it a widow or be it grusha, she's a divorcee, so she's going to receive support until either she gets her settlement, a ksuva settlement, or until she remarries, one of the two. But when it comes to the Yavama, so a very interesting phenomena happens with the Yavama, and that is that she's a widow, obviously. That's by definition what a Yavama is. She's a widow. She receives support from the first husband's estate until the 3 months are up. But once the 3 months are up, she now is transferred into the domain of the Yavam. And now the Yavam is the one responsible to provide for her support. And what happens if he's a deadbeat Yavam, if he doesn't want to... if he doesn't want to take up the support, or what happens when he does chalitza? So we referenced that very shortly yesterday. But interesting though, the Yavama has not exactly the same rules regarding a ksuva as would a regular woman. Okay, we're on the very bottom of Mem Alpha Amud Beis. Just a quick recap in terms of what we covered. Tana Rabbanan, the second to last line on Mem Alpha Amud Beis. Yavama shechatzal lo achim besoch shlosha tzricha lahamtin gimel chadashim. A Yavama that has chalitza performed for her by the brothers has to wait 3 months. La'achar gimel in tzricha. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Betoch shloshach tzricha la'amtin shloshach hadashim. So the fine. So she has to wait 3 months. So the Gemara says la'achar gimel in tzricha la'amtin gimel chadashim. But after 3 months, however, she doesn't have to wait now another 3 months. So it's clear then that in the world of the Yavama, when we say 3 months, 3 months actually begin from the time of the death of her husband. Okay, so in other words, it's pretty clear from the world of Yibam that yes, there's a 3 month waiting period, but when do we start counting the 3 months? After the death of her first husband. Good. So Shamar Mishas Mises Abal, Vala Mishas Chalitza Zayavam. And does Chalitza Zayavam play a role in this waiting period? The answer is no, and for obvious reason. Meaning again, the waiting 3 months is to establish paternity. So she knows that she was not with a man since her husband died, and the brother that was supposed to do the mitzvah of Yibam ended up doing Chalitza, so there's no question that he isn't the father. So good. So you only have to wait from the 3 months from when her first husband died. That's pretty clear. But the Gemara now has a very straightforward question. How is this different than the world of Get? Because we know in the world of Get, Rav Amar Mishas Nesino, Ushmol Amar Mishas Ksiva. Rav says that when do we start counting the 3 months from when the time the Get is delivered, which is the halacha. Meaning the halacha is that the delivery of the Get is going to be the beginning of the 3 month or 3 month waiting period. And then anyone who's been involved at all in a Get proceeding, you know whoever's officiating over the Get proceeding makes it very clear to the woman, you can't marry within the next 91 days. Okay. And as we'll see later on this morning, you can't do Erisin within the next 91 days. Okay, but anyway, so the but that's the opinion of Rab. But Shmuel says, no, it's from the time that the get was written. Now, that's an earlier point in time. Why is the point of the get being written significant? So as Rashi over here points out, because she's not going to be with her husband once the get is written. Halachically, she can't be with her husband once the get is written. So the truth of the matter is, Shmuel makes a lot of sense. Meaning, what's Shmuel's point? From the point that we know for sure that she and her husband are not together, so that's when you start counting the 3 months. And Rav says, no. You know, you don't go from the time when the get is written, but rather when the get is delivered. The get could be delivered a week, 2 weeks, even a month. Could be even more. After the time the get was actually written, Rav says you have to go from the time that the get was actually delivered, not from the time the get was written. And what bothers the Gemara right now is, Rav, I don't understand. In the world of Chalitza, you said that the giving of the Chalitza, the actual Chalitza ceremony pays no bearing on when her wedding period starts. Her wedding period starts at the death of her husband. Because at that point in time, we know the husband's not going to be the father anymore. Here too, after writing the get, don't we know after the ksiva that the husband's no longer, that her former husband's no longer going to be the father of the child? So Amarava Kavachomer, Yisakari, Sitarti, Solav, Kalo, Kolshikain. So Rava says you can't compare the Yavama to a regular divorce. Because in the world of Yavama, what happens upon the death of her husband? That's significant. The death of her husband is so significant that it allows her to marry her brother, which could potentially be an Erva, but it's not. So in other words, and how do we know? In other words, and at what point in time are we sure? 3 months from the point of death. So we know in the world of Yibum, death becomes one of the most, if not the most, significant moment in terms of changing her status. And we always turn to 3 months from the time of her death. So therefore, in the world of Chalitza, the actual Chalitza ceremony, mitzvah, however you want to describe it, is not going to play an impact in terms of her waiting 3 months. But in terms of her regular gerushin, the nesinas to get, the giving of the get, is going to be what affects her to be a divorced woman, and therefore we have to go from the actual time that the get was actually delivered. The chain shar kol anashim on the top of men beis amadalf with the two dots. So all other women have to wait 3 months. Bishlama yivama kedamar nala shar kol anashim amai. Another gemara over here asks a very straightforward question. I foreshadowed the question at the beginning of this year. Why? Why do we have to wait 3 months? Why is it so important to establish paternity? Again, there's obvious reasons, but the gemara is going to give now formal answers in terms of why it's so important to know who the father is. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Misham Damar Karli Yosech Halelukim Azarecha, Acharecha. Gemara quotes the pasuk from, not last week, already 3 weeks ago, we're flying in the Parshios. Anyway, but the Lahavchim is Zarsho Vishal Zarsho Sheni. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be for us a God and for our children after us when the children know who their father is. You want to see Rashi? Rashi here writes it in very strong language. Ulzarecha Acharecha, Rashi writes, the Shechina only rests on people who know who their father is. And Rashi quotes the Gemara Nedarim. Those people who do not know who their father is or are unsure who their father is, so they don't have as much Hashar Shechina as those who know who their father is. So, understood. Okay, how to understand this answer of Rav Nachman? I'm not, you know. Okay, good. In other words, it's interesting. It's not a, it has no lamaisa ramifications. What's a nafkamina? So he has more ashar shechina, he has less ashar shechina. So I guess in terms of, you know, shiduchim, I guess you want someone more with more ashar shechina, but, you know, how does that play out lamaisa practically? Okay, it's a fair question. I don't have the answer. So the Gemara says, okay, but with someone who converts. So someone who converts has to also wait a 3 month period. Why? In other words, we know who the father is. It's the same guy. So why would they have to wait a 3 month period? So the Gemara says, no. There's a hafchana. There's still a distinction over there. There's a delineation because there's, again, following the same train of thought, there's more Hashra Shechina when the Zera is conceived when they're B'Kedusha. So in other words, if they convert, the husband and wife convert, even though it's the same man, it's the same woman, but now they're going to wait 3 months, and the reason why they're going to wait 3 months is in order to establish that they conceive the child in a state of Kedusha. Okay, that's all falls under answer number one. So answer number one of the Gemara, the question is, why is it so important to establish paternity? So answer number one of the Gemara, this is Rav Nachman's answer, Hashra Shechina. Because there's more Shechina on people who know who their father is. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different answer, and this is much more lamaisa, much more practical in terms of its halachic ramification. Gzeira, Shema. And look, think about it. Now, we're going to go over four scenarios, but they're all going to have one common denominator. In other words, we're talking about a woman who moved from one man to another man too quickly, meaning within 3 months, let's say 2 months, and then she has a child 7 months later. And let's say, just for argument's sake, that he's assuming that the second father is his father when in fact, not necessarily, it's the first father is his father. Now, of course, it's a suffix we don't know, and we could have gone the other direction, but just to illustrate four different scenarios where he's making a false assumption. He's assuming the second man is his father when in fact it's not. And what's going to happen as a result of that? Number one, Yisa'as Chosam Yavid. Number one, he's going to end up marrying his sister because he doesn't think that he's the son of the first father. First father has another girl out from a different marriage, obviously. And now he's thinking to himself, okay, nice girl, and we're not related because he doesn't think that he was from the first father. He thinks it's from the second father, and he's going to end up marrying his sister. Okay, issue number one. Issue number two, Yabe Meisha Sachiv Mimo. Also, he's going to do Yibum to a non-paternal brother. Meaning, again, he thinks that right now he's the son of the second father. The second father then has other sons. And then one of them dies, childless. Okay, good, let me do Yibum. No, in other words, there's no mitzvah of Yibum if it's not a paternal brother. And number three, Yotzi Yassim Alashuk. And also, mom's gonna think, oh, good, right, I'm not chained. I'm not a Yavama. In other words, because the man that just died, the second husband that just died, we had a child together, which is not true. Again, based on the false assumption that he's not the child of the second husband, he's the child of the first husband, and so therefore she's going to erroneously think, I have no connection. I'm not a Yavama. And finally, number four, v'yiftor z'yivimto l'shuk, and also the sister-in-law is going to think. Oh, okay, good. Meaning, I'm also not connected. This is not the child of the first husband. It's the child of the second husband, and so therefore, I'm free to go. Okay, not necessarily. Okay. So, in other words, four different scenarios where just simply because he thought that he was a son of the second husband, and meanwhile, he was really the son of the first husband. So, real halachic ramifications. All connected with Arayos, meaning that if somebody marries the wrong woman, or somebody erroneously thinks there is a mitzvah of Yibam, there isn't a mitzvah of Yibam, all based on the fact that we're all assuming that he's the child of the second husband, when meanwhile he's the child of the first. Huh? Achosam Yimor is still Karis, meaning it's still a sibling with no mitzvah of Yibam. Right? Mezer Rav Chananya, the Gemara says, okay, good. I'm just a little bit bothered by Rav's answer because look at the following brisa. So these are issues of Takanas Erva, meaning the reason why we need to wait is because of Erva issues and also Tikkun Avlad. So that the child knows who his proper father is. Now, why are we making any kind of distinction? Meaning, the way Rav explained it, it's always an erva issue. It's an erva issue for the parent. It's also an erva issue for the child. So, ha'mishim tekanes vlad, delo pagluhu erva. So the Gemara says, well, oh, exactly. Meaning, no fancy answers over here. Meaning, when we say tikkun vlad, we mean so that the vlad doesn't come into contact with an erva. Exactly. Meaning an erva for the parent and an erva consideration for the child as well. Okay. And now, from here until the bottom of the Amud, what the Gemara is going to attempt to do is kind of play around with the 3 months. Okay, there's a 3 month waiting period, and the reason why is very straightforward. Because we want to know who the father is. So after 3 months, most women show pregnancy, demonstrate signs of pregnancy after 3 months. So 3 months, you'll know whether or not she was impregnated by the first husband, or not. Essentially, the Gemara wants to know, is there any way we could cheat on those 3 months? So this is what the Gemara will attempt to do. So Bisham attempting Beis Chadash Matinasa Lo Dainus Feka. So the Gemara says, look, I know waiting 2 months is a disaster. Because Ibar Tishla Kama, Ibar Shivla Basra. Because again, if the child comes out 7 months later, so then we are literally left guessing whether this child is a 7 month from the second husband or a 9 month from the first husband. Got that. Ela Tamtin Chodesh Achavatinaste. But let her wait 1 month. Why? That would seem to be okay. So we're going to think about it, and then we're going to think about it a little bit more, and we're going to realize, no, it's not going to be okay. But first, let's go through the Gemara stages of thought. So let's say the baby comes out 7 months later. Good. So that comes out from the second husband. Well, why couldn't it come out from the first husband? Because the Gemara assumes that an 8 month gestation cannot survive. Literally, in this case, a drop-dead assumption made by the Gemara that an eight-month baby cannot survive its gestation period. Obviously, things have changed over the years, Nishanu Ateva, but that's the assumption made in the Gemara. So if the baby comes out 7 months later after one month waiting period, so it couldn't be from the first husband, so it must be from the second husband. Now, upon further review, you're going to think about that, and you're going to realize what I just said is not really true, meaning it could be that it was... The first husband impregnated the mother a month earlier, and it could be a 9 month from the first husband. But stay tuned because the Gemara is going to realize that in just a moment. The ilatam na yalada hai bar tishala kamahu. Now, if the baby comes out 8 months later, and they only waited a 1 month waiting period, so that clearly indicates that it came from the first husband. So the Gemara says, so why not just wait 1 month? Inami usually doesn't begin an answer, but here it does. So the Gemara says, first of all, baby comes out. You waited 1 month. The baby came out 8 months later, but it could very well belong to the second husband. He didn't impregnate her until a month after they got married, right? Just because they got married doesn't immediately result in a pregnancy. Could be that he impregnated her a month later. It could be that it was a 7 month gestation, and therefore we're left just guessing, and still not knowing whether this child was from the first or second husband. The Tamtu Shechadash and Omechlev Tinasei. Gemara now makes another suggestion. Why don't we wait 2.5 months? Dila Shiva Yalada Bar Shivla Basrahu. If the baby comes out 7 months later, that comes from the second husband. Vila Shisu Paga Yalada. So, and if the baby comes out 6.5 months later, so right now the Gemara is assuming that can belong to the second husband, because that's not a long enough gestation period. If 7 months means 7 months, although we're going to change that assumption in just a moment, so therefore it must belong to the first husband. The Gemara spells it out. Child 6.5 months cannot... A neonate who went through a 6.5 month gestation cannot survive. And again, the Gemara says that's not true. No, 6.5 month gestation can survive. And the Gemara says, false assumption. A child can go through a 6.5 month gestation period. In fact, a child can go through a 6 month gestation period and a couple of days. Who did that? None other than Shmuel. Shmuel was born 2 seasons after conception. Right? That's what the pasuk in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph tells us. Vayhilat kufos hayamim. Shmuel was born after seasons. We assume that when the Navi says it in plural, it only means two. Yamim means 2 days. 2 seasons, 2 days. 6 months and two days after conception. So Shmuel was born. Excuse me. Okay, good. So waiting 2.5 months is not going to help us in terms of avchana, in terms of delineating whether this comes from the first or second husband. Okay. Good. We can't cheat in 3 months, right? The Gemara says, why not do a pregnancy test? Okay, now, I say that in the year 2014, so we have one idea, one version of what a pregnancy test is. Okay, and they're pretty reliable. Okay, I don't know the percentages offhand, but they're pretty good. In the good old days, they didn't have that as a pregnancy test, but they had other forms of pregnancy test. So the Gemara says, so why don't we just wait a little bit of time? Okay, I'll give you an amount in just a moment, Rashi and Tosos, but let's wait a little bit of time and then let's do a pregnancy test. And if it's plus, I understand, I'm talking now in minor terms, but if it's plus, she's pregnant. If she's minus, she's not. So why not do a form of pregnancy test? The Gemara's next question. The Tamtim Mashahu, so waited, let her wait just a little bit. Now Rashi over here says a week or 2 weeks, and Tosfos says not even that. 3 days, you know, until actual conception. Meaning, their pregnancy test, I'm going to try to describe it, but I really don't understand. I don't know enough biology, and I don't know enough biology of the 3rd century. So I'm a little bit of a loss exactly how the pregnancy test works, but basically, let's do a pregnancy test. So the Gemara says, V'tinasei, V'chimalu shosha chadash livdaka. And then when the 3 months are up from the marriage of the first husband, so then we'll do the pregnancy test, and okay. Amar Rav Safra, ein bot gittes in nesuos. So the Gemara says, no, as a rule, we don't do pregnancy tests for married women. Why? Because they're invasive. However exactly it worked. I take it back. I'm not even going to describe it. You can take a look at Rashi, by the way. Rashi gives a very brief description of exactly what's happening, although even after I read Rashi, I don't fully understand it. Okay, I'm sure everyone else is going to look, but still, the point is that it's a very invasive test, and it will make her unattractive to her husband for her to go through such a test. V'nivdika behilucha, the Gemara says, well, there's another pregnancy test, and that is the walking pregnancy test, and here I will cite Rashi. I'll just say it outside. You could look inside to see. Obviously, with the first month, 2 months, 3 months of gestation, so obviously she's gonna weigh a little bit more. Okay, the forming fetus inside of her. I understand within the first trimester, we're not talking about a lot of pounds, but it is a small amount, and the Gemara says you can tell. Have her walk on soft ground, and if she makes a deeper indentation, she's pregnant. Okay, so the walking test for the pregnant. So and the Gemara says to that even that has false negatives. Okay, and actually she went out of her way to make it a false negative because she does not want to communicate to others that she's pregnant, and the Gemara spells it out. The reason why is because she wants the second husband to believe it's his, and so that the second husband will support the baby. In other words, if we find out that she was pregnant, the pregnancy comes from the first husband, so then what's going to happen as a result of that is going to be that the second husband has no legal obligation to support her. If she goes into a marriage and they make a... and they put that as part of the ksuva agreement, fine. But legally, the second husband doesn't have to support her, and so therefore she will go out of her way to cover up the pregnancy, and somehow she'll evade the soft ground test in order to have the second husband believe it's his. So basically, just to wrap up, the Gemara two forms of the same question: why not? Can we cheat in those 3 months? So the first answer is no, and the second answer is no. Right? In terms of trying to shorten those 3 months and see if there's any way where we can know for sure who it belongs to by cutting down 3 months, the answer to that, the Gemara says, no, there's not. Excuse me. There's no... Okay. Excuse me. The 3 months are counted from when? In the world of Yibum, from the time her husband died. In the world of the giving of a get, from the time that the get is delivered. And then the second part of the question was, why not wait until, why not do some form of pregnancy test? And the Gemara to that also says no. Okay, that's the short form of the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara says, okay, moving on. Gemara says, now, What if, okay, good, we waited 3 months, and now she's pregnant, and now she can get married? The Gemara says, you remember what we did about a week ago? We had the Gemara earlier that says that you cannot marry a pregnant woman. And again, the reason why, which the Gemara over here is going to about to point out. Well, okay, let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, Gdera Shematase Ubra Sandal. So the Gemara says, well, we're afraid that you're going to impregnate her again during her pregnancy, and the second pregnancy is going to adversely affect the first pregnancy. Okay, again, modern science, you'll read about this in the strange tales of modern science, but this is not... It's extremely uncommon. So, and the Gemara is also bothered by a very simple question. What if it's her own husband? You mean to tell me that once a woman gets pregnant, her and her husband can't have tashma shemitah? That's not true. Of course they can. So, and the Gemara here quickly references that there's a basic machlokus amongst the Tanaim. How a pregnant woman has relations with her husband. Either option A, she uses contraception, or option B, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Okay, right. We saw this machlokas recently, but anyway. So the fine. So that's not the issue. So Hakanami Ilaman Damer Mamoch Mamoch Ilaman Damer Minashamay Rachma Minashamay Rachma El Mishum Dechasa. So the Gemara says the problem is that during the act of relations, he's going to apply force to her abdomen, and he may hurt the baby. So the Gemara says Yachidei Dinami. Gemara says, why don't we say the same thing by her own husband, which we don't? So the Gemara says, Didei chayfi lavei. So the Gemara says, well, her own husband is going to be delicate and sensitive to this. And the Hachanami chayfi lavei. And the Gemara says, and the second husband also will be sensitive to this as well. Take a look at the bottom. Rashi, Ein Adam Miskaven Laharoga Nefesh. Meaning, right, second husband's he's not a murderer. In other words, he's going to also be aware that she's pregnant, and he's also going to be sensitive to that as well. So elostam uberes leminika kaima. So the Gemara says no. The pregnant woman, she's going to start the hormones are going to kick in. She's going to start lactating. And dilma I abra umeaker chalba vikat lale. And the problem now is that if he marries her during her pregnancy, post pregnancy, and he impregnates her again, so then her milk is going to be cut off and. Then there's nothing to feed the baby. So the Gemara says, Yahi Dide Nami. The Gemara says, well, what about that? What about her own husband? So the Gemara says, Dide Memas Mesa Le Bebeitim Vechalav. Bebeitim Vechalav. So the Gemara says, well, her own husband, if in fact she gets pregnant within the 24 months of the nursing, and it does cut off her milk supply, so what her husband's going to do is go to the store and buy formula. Now I know I'm using a modern terminology, but the Gemara here talks about eggs and milk. Okay, protein. So didanami memas masala bebeitim v'chalav. So the Gemara says, well, the second husband, won't he do the same thing? So the Gemara says, lo yav la baal. So no, her second husband is not going to give it to her because it's not her son. I know I'm a little bit inconsistent because just a couple of lines ago the Gemara said, Rashi said, you know, he's not a murderer. He won't kill the kid during relations. And now the Gemara says, yeah, but he won't support the child as well. So I understand that where it's a little bit of a tightrope over here in terms of how sensitive/insensitive he is going to be to a child that's not his own. Okay. V'lis be'ine l'yorshim. So the Gemara says, okay, but now it turns out that she's having a baby from her first husband. So, and her second husband's not interested in supporting this child. So let her go back to the first estate, the estate of the first husband. Can she demand support from the first estate? And the Gemara says, yes, she can, but I'm Rabbi Isha Busha Lavola Beistin V'horeges Es Bina. Okay, and the Gemara here describes her embarrassment to go to Beistin. And she will be even prepared to allow the child to die rather than suffer the embarrassment of going to Beistin. Fine. Basically, you know, Gemara's response is she's got to wait 3 months in order to establish she's pregnant, and if she's pregnant, she then has to wait another 24 months until she finishes nursing. Achas Basulas, Achas Bulas. We're back in the Mishnah. So Hainu Basilas Hainu Arusa. So Gemara asks a very simple question, and that is, the Mishnah seems to be repetitive. It says virgins and it says Arusos. And that's the same thing, isn't it? Hainu Ba'ulz, Hainu Nasus, Am Rav Yehuda, Achi Kamar. So Rav Yehuda says, when you read the Mishnah, this is how you read the Mishnah. Achas Basulas Va'achas Ba'ulos Shinis Armalu, O Shinis Garshu, Bein Min Eris and Bein Min Nasuin. Okay, so very simple. Read the Mishnah that everyone's got to wait. Whether she was a virgin, whether she was not a virgin, whether she was widowed or divorced from Eris and from Nasuin, which again would affect whether she was a virgin or non-virgin. Okay. Rebbe Elazar lo ala be midrasha. Gemara now starts with a small story, not really a story, but Rebbe Elazar one day did not go to the base midrash. Ashkechale Rebbe Yasi amale my amar rabbanu be midrasha. Please tell me, I miss shir today. What happened today in shir? So amale achem Rav Yochanan alochik Rav Yosi. So you missed it. We were learning Yevamos. We were learning the fourth parak of Yevamos. We got to the Mishnah of waiting 3 months. What did the Tanna Kamma say in the Mishnah? You always have to wait 3 months. You cannot do a thing until 3 months, not Erisin, not Nisuin. And what did Rav Yossi say in the Mishnah? No. If she just left a marriage post-Nisuin, you could do Erisin within the next 3 months. If you just left a marriage post-Erisin, the second husband could do Nisuin. Meaning the Rav Yossi says the only issue is identification of who the father is. And if you know that the previous man was not the father because they didn't have relations, so the second one can jump into a marriage right away. Or if the previous husband had relations, so you can't jump into the marriage, but you could do Erisin within the 3 months, and obviously Nisuin will wait until the 3 months. And then the only mitigating concern is going to be Avelos, which we will talk about later. But anyway, you know what Rav Yochanan said? The halacha is like Rav Yossi. That's what you missed in Shir today. Okay, good. Look at that, Eddie. You missed... You missed one day of Shir, and you missed and you missed who the halacha was like. The Gemara obviously felt it to be a really big deal, and obviously it is. So mechla dichida paligala. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. Here's the rule. We learned this back in Erevin. If Rav Yossi's arguing against one Tana, we side with Rav Yossi. If Rav Yossi's arguing against many Tanaim, so then we don't side with Rav Yossi. How does our Mishnah work? There was a Tana Kama, and then there was Rav Yossi. Doesn't that mean, by definition, that the Tana Kama is the Chachamim? And isn't it Yachid versus Rabim? The Gemara says, nope. It's the Tana Kama reflects one Tana's view. Now, from the Mishnah, we would know that, but we're about to see a Braisa, and we're going to see that clearly in the Braisa. The in Vehatanya. Vehatanya over here is a proof, not a question. Let's say the marriage is not solid. In fact, she keeps running back to her parents' home. Oshayilo kais bebeis bala, or people hear heard fighting in the house all the time. Oshayabalas chavush bebeis aserim, or the husband was in jail. Oshayabalas zaken or chola, or the husband was old or weak, or sick. Oshayisa hi chola, or she was sick. Oshayipilo achamisas bala, or she just had a miscarriage after she was widowed. Oshayisa karam, or let's say she had something like a hysterectomy. Right, that's pretty much what Rashi says. Rashi writes, "Ne'ekar rachma v'nat la ha'im shala." Okay, it's pretty safe to say that some form of hysterectomy, going all the way back to the time of the Gemara. Ozekain, or she was old. O ketan, or she was a minor. O ilonis, ilonis just simply means that she didn't have the equipment. So o she'en rui leilei. She's not fit to give birth. Whatever the case is, in other words, we just painted a lot of scenarios where we know for a fact she's not pregnant. So tzrich la'antin gimel chadashim divrei Rabbi Meir. She has to wait 3 months, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Oh. So what do we gain from the Braisa? So that opinion is exactly reflective of the opinion we saw back in our Mishnah, but what we gain now is that we know this is not the Rabbim, it's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. It's one Tana. And Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, that's the other girsa, the Gon, Matil Eris L'Nasa B'Yad, she's allowed to do Erisin and get married immediately. Okay, so what we gain from this Braisa is that Rabbi Yossi is arguing with another Tana, not Rabbim, but one other Tana, Rabbi Meir. And that enables us to say that Halacha falls like Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Chiya Barabachaz, Rabbi Yochanan. So... So Rabbi Cheir bar Abba says that Rabbi Yochanan had charata. He retracted on that position. Okay, and how do we know that? I'm Rabbi Yosef. He hadar bay mi masnisin de karma hadar bay. Yes, he retracted from that position. It must be because of a Mishnah taught where? In Keren B'Yavne. You remember after Churban Beis HaMikdash. So where did Rabbi Gamliel take the Beis Medrash? He took it to a number of places, but eventually they went to Keren B'Yavne. Remember the Gemara in Gittin? The Tanya, and the Gemara now tells us the Mishnah, or the Brisa that was taught over there. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Shemata mi pi chachamim b'Keren B'Yavne. Kulan tzrich lahamtin gemul chadashim. They all have to wait 3 months. Okay, that's a Mishnah that was taught in Keren B'Yavne, and as a result of that, Rav Yochanan retracted. Amli Rav Yirmi le Rav Zurika ki alut le kamet Rabbi Abba Rami le Mar. Am Rav Yochanan halacha ke Rav Yosi. How can you tell me that the halacha falls like Rav Yosi va'amar Rav Yochanan halacha ke stam Mishnah? Meanwhile, the Gemara says time and again that according to Rav Yochanan, the halacha falls like an anonymous Mishnah. Vitanan. Kol nashim lo yinasu v'lo yisarsu ashi v'lahem shosha chadashim. Achas besulos v'achas bulos. And meanwhile, don't we have an anonymous Mishnah right here in Yevamos? So the Gemara says, Amar le deramalach ha lochash lekimcha. You're really not careful about your learning, meaning that's not a stam Mishnah. And so you're asking a question. In of itself, the question would have been good, but you're not reading the Mishnah carefully. And you don't understand the rules of Rav Yochanan well. Rav Yochanan does say that the halacha falls like a stam Mishnah, but do you know what a stam Mishnah is? It's anonymous, and there's no argument. However, stam v'achar kach machlokis, he, the ein halacha kistam. We know that if you have a stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, followed then by machlokis, that's Rav Yehuda Hanasi tipping us off and telling us that the halacha does not fall like a stam. The Amar Rav Papa v'itim Rav Yochanan, now the Gemara quotes a statement. Some say Rav Papa and some say Rav Yochanan, and if it's Rav Yochanan who says it, so it's a direct contradiction, which is machlokes v'achar kastam halachah kastam. Look, Rav Yehuda Hanasi was organized in the way he set up his Mishnayos. If he set up first a machlokes, and then afterwards in the Mishnayos he brings it as an anonymous Mishnah, that's Rav Yehuda Hanasi tipping us off to telling us that's the halacha falls like the stam Mishnah. Stam v'achar kach machlokes, but if it goes in the other direction. Well, first it's an anonymous Mishnah, followed then by a machlokes, ein halacha kistam. So then the halacha does not fall like the stam. So you're wrong, you're right, and you're wrong. Meaning, you're right. It is an anonymous Mishnah. You go back to Mem Beis, Mem Aleph, Amen Aleph, and it says, chein kol ha'shar nashim, lo yisarsu v'lo 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 yisarsu. Good. That's an anonymous Mishnah that says you always have to wait 3 months. And then what happens? Then, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and as soon as he starts to varus, he's yinasu. Chusman arushas shibirah mimnesh libo gaspa. Then the Mishnah introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Mishnah introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer kolanashim yisarsu chutzman almana. So the way the Mishnahs are structured, first the Stam Mishnah, followed then by Machlokas, then the Halacha does not fall like the Stam Mishnah. Mistamech the Azo Rabbi Abao at Katfe de Rabbi Nachum Shamei. Rabbi Abao was walking, being supported by Rabbi Nachum, his attendant. Mankiv Azehuchasa Mine. And he was asking halachic questions from him. And Ba Mine Machlokas Vachakach Stamai. So he says, look, let me ask you about the rules of Psak. If I have a machlokas, a Mishnah which presents a machlokas, and then subsequently a stam Mishnah, what do we do? Amalei halacha kistam. So it says halacha falls like the anonymous Mishnah. Stam v'achakach machlokas. What if I reversed it? Amalei halacha kistam. So then the halacha does not fall like the stam. Okay, good. Which, by the way, we already learned. So good. Excellent review. Parenthetically, by the way, Rashi points out these rules of how the Mishnahs are structured, stam followed by machlokas, machlokas followed by stam, that's only if they exist in the same mesechta. But if there's one Mishnah in this mesechta, another Mishnah, another mesechta, so then we don't have those rules. And then, just as a, I'll say this just briefly, in the bavas, we treat all the bavas like one mesechta. even though it's broken up into three different masechtas. But originally they were once linked. So then the rules apply. Okay. moving along. Stamad de masisa machok is bebrai samai. Good. Now, I'm sorry about my voice. Now let's advance the discussion. What about if it's a stam mishnah and there's a machlokus in braisos? Okay, what is it? What is it? What's that in terms of the klale hapsak? Amalei halachik estam. He says, no, the halach is like a stam. Machlokus b'masnisim v'stamah b'braisamai. What if it's a machlokus in the mishnah and stam by a braisa? So amalei v'chi rebi lo shanah. Rebbe Chiya Minayin, you're going to see this line come up again and again throughout Shas, and it's a very interesting line. It basically means, well, if Rebbe didn't teach it, where did Rebbe Chiya conjure it up from? Meaning, it can't be that Rebbe Chiya has an authoritative position if it's not recorded in a Mishnah. Remember, Rebbe Chiya is a student of Rebbe. So generally speaking, the general consensus is that anything authoritative, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi put down in the Mishnah. And if it's not authoritative, he didn't put it down. And if it comes up in a Braisa, well, we won't look at it as if it's authoritative. And as a result of that, we just simply will dismiss it in the Braisa. So that means that if it's a machlokus in the Mishnah, even though Rebbe Chiya brought it down as an anonymous statement with no debate in a Braisa, but the Mishnah is more authoritative. Okay. V'hatanan. Skip two words. Amar lei v'hatanan. Okay, and for the rest of today's daf, what we're going to do together is A, a little bit of catch up, because now we're going to do Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and B, we're going to learn a Mishnah and Kalim together. Okay, this is going to be a total sidebar from what our discussion is in terms of the waiting 3 months. when we get to the end of today's daf, we're going to see that the halach is that you need to wait 3 months. Absolute. No cutting down on 3 months. Eris in Nisuin, everything. I give away the end of the Gemara. But right now, we're just in this idea that if there is a Stam Mishnah, the halach is going to fall like a Stam Mishnah. This is a statement of Rav Yochanan, and yet the Mishnah in Kalim and the ruling based on the Mishnah in Kalim doesn't seem to go along the lines with this. Okay, before we start with the Mishnah and Kalim, let's remind each other. What do we know? In order for any Kli to be Mekabel Tumah, so it has to have functionality. If it's not functional, it doesn't have a purpose, it doesn't have a use, so then it's not a Kli, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. Okay, and that means then that if a Kli breaks to the point where it loses its functionality, so then it's no longer going to be Mekabel Tumah. Moreover, we can even say a little bit stronger, even if it was Tumah and it breaks, the tumah flies away. We talked today about combs. Two types of combs, not combs for the hair, but combs for flax and combs for combing wool. Okay, I have zero experience in both of these departments, so for me, I speak about this academically. Misrak Shalpishtan, we talked first about a Masrek Shalpishtan, a comb used to comb flax. This comb only had, I read up on it. That's my experience over here. It only has one row of teeth. The teeth are made of metal, and they're attached to the wooden frame of the comb. Master Chopishan Shinitlu Shina Vinishtar Bokstein Tomatoes. As long as it has two teeth, it's still functional. Achas Tahora. If it only has one tooth remaining, it is no longer functional. As a result of that, it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. Akulan Shinitlu Achas Achas Bifnei Atzman Tomatoes. Now, interesting. If I were to pick off the needle that served as the tooth of the comb, again, it's made out of metal, and in of itself, it's useful. And so therefore, if I pick off the metal tooth, that metal tooth of the comb is useful in of itself. It can basically be used as some sort of pick, stylus, and therefore, it in of itself is tummy. What about the fact that it doesn't have a toch? Not a problem. It's metal. Metal doesn't need to have a toch. Shel tsemer, now we talk about the wood, the wool comb. Comb used to comb wool. This comb had two rows. Tsemer shenitlu shina v'achas mimitam tower nishtar, I'm sorry, tower. if every other tooth has been removed, so I don't have two consecutive teeth in this comb, no good. It loses its functionality. Right? The wool, again, I read up on this. I don't know this from experience. The wool, you need a finer comb in order to comb the wool than you do flax. And so therefore, if you have a gap of just one tooth between every other tooth, that's no good. It loses its functionality. And therefore, it's tahor. Nishtaru bo gimel b'malkamecha tamei. But then the Mishnah says something which is confusing. The Gemara later on will point this out. That if I have three consecutive teeth, it's makabel tumah. Which means that two consecutive teeth is no good. But that's confusing because we just said a moment ago that if it's missing every other tooth, that's no good. Which indicated that if there were two consecutive teeth, that'd be fine. So the Mishnah is confusing. We're going to come back. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Haisa chitzona achas mehem tar. I'm sorry. Haisa chitzona achas mehen tar. Nitlo beis v'asala malaket tameos. If you have the external over here. I'm sorry. Everyone have a picture of the comb in their mind, right? You know that I'm talking about the comb for our hair. So you know that the teeth in the middle are fine. And then when you get to the two ends, so they're wide. So the Mishnah's point over here in Kalim is that we need three in a row, but you can't count the end tooth as one of the three because that's a very wide tooth. Okay. Haisa chitzon achas mem tar. Nidla beiz v'asa lamalakeit tmeos. Now, if I took two teeth from the wool comb and used it as tweezers, so the Mishnah says that's now tummy. Now, in other words, it sounds like that if one by itself is no good. And again, that's difficult, because if you go back to the flax comb, we said that picking off one tooth by itself would be fine. And again, the Gemara is going to point that out. And, Achat v'kinel aner, if I took one tooth off the wool comb, and I actually manipulated it, I bent it a little bit, so that it could help me clean out the candle, the lamp, or it's for some sort of stretching purposes. Don't ask, I don't know. So tamei, then it's mekabel tumah. Okay. Yeah,
it's
right. Yeah, something to do with sewing. Okay.
Once
it's detached from the comb. While attached to the comb, so then it's part of the comb, and then you need three in a row. Detached from the comb, so two, it could be used as tweezers. One could be bent and used for a lamp. Okay. And that's our Mishnah and Kalim. Okay, so we learned together today, Mishnah, 13th Perek, 8th Mishnah of the 13th Perek in Kalim. Good. I went over the Mishnah inside last night. The Kamalan Dein Halacha goes to Mishnah, and meanwhile, now having learned the Mishnah together, you know what? The Halacha doesn't follow like that Mishnah. Amalei bar minei da'id, Rav Yochanan, Mishnah, Gishdam, Tavai, Zu Eina Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, I know that upsets your rules. Because the rule is when you have a Stam Mishnah, the Halacha falls like the Stam Mishnah. And yet, we just learned together, a Stam Mishnah and Kalim, and the Halacha does not fall like the Stam Mishnah. Why not? So Rav Yochanan Mishnah can say, Zu Eina Mishnah. That Mishnah and Kalim, not authoritative. Okay, they could say that. They have the right to say that. Why? Why is it not authoritative? My time, I'm Ravuna Bar Menoch Mishmed Ravi Dibre Ravika Mishum Dekasha Rachel Seifa Dektani Shal Semer Shenit Lushina Vachas Mibin Time Tahor Hani Shari Bo Shai Memakum Echatame Vadu Tani Shari Bo Gimel Tame Gimel Inshtaim Lo. Well, the Gemara says, well, look, the Mishnah is already inconsistent because the Mishnah said two teeth is no good. Then the Mishnah, taking out every other one is no good, meaning two in a row would be fine. Then the Mishnah says, no, I need three in a row. Well, which one is it? Two or three? My kasha doma habe gavasya habe briyasa. So the Gemara says that's not a contradiction. Because there is a discrepancy versus two versus three. But remember, in the wool comb is made out of two rows, not one row. And so therefore, when talking about... Now Rashi over here really struggles. But if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Amaskol Viha, and look at the second half of that Rashi... Rashi says that this is the pshat he prefers. V'ikar b'gav yasa b'yasa shtei shiru shinayim yesh l'masreik. Shaltzemer, the wool comb has two rows. one closer to the handle, one further away from the handle. Chitzonos upanimus, a chitzonos ikar. The outer row is doing more of the work, says Rashi. The inner row just kind of holds the wool in place. Therefore, on the outer row, I need three consecutive teeth. On the inner row, I only need two consecutive teeth. Good. So the Gemara, back to the Gemara. The kulin shenidlo achas mipnei atzman temeos. So the Gemara says, here's why Rav Yochanan reject that Mishnah out of hand. Because the Mishnah says that if I take one tooth from the flax comb, that's a clean of itself. And you didn't manipulate it. And meanwhile, in that same Mishnah, when describing the wool comb, achas v'itkino l'nero l'mituch temeo. Meanwhile, in the wool comb, you take one tooth and you have to bend it. Why? In the flax comb, I didn't need to bend it. In the wool comb, I do. So in light, so in light, can alone. I'm Rabbi. You might kusha demahabik katayu, habelok katayu. So the Gemara says, in the flax comb, I took off a tooth together with some of the wood handle. So in of itself, it could serve as a kli, as opposed to the wool comb, maybe I just plucked off the tooth by itself. Okay? That's one answer. Amar of Papa, Umaykusha, Viduma hab bikitinasa hab alimasa. Or another answer, says the Gemara, is that the one tooth is fine and the other tooth is thick, and so therefore the fine tooth by itself serves as a kli, it's functional, it could be used as a pick, as a stylus, but the fat tooth by itself has no use. Together with another one, can be used as a pair of tweezers. Ela mishum de mesayma ba dafkani zu devre Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, do you know why Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan reject that Mishnah? There is really no problem with that Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kalim, it took us a while to clean it up, so to say, but the Mishnah in Kalim is fine. The reason why they reject that Mishnah is because when people who know Mishnayos, right, the Davkanim, people who know Mishnah, when they learn that Mishnah, you know how they learn that Mishnah? They learn that Mishnah by ending off by that Mishnah with the word Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. It's not an anonymous Mishnah. Okay, let's just quickly wrap up. We're at the we're halfway down on the Amud. Shalach Rabbi Chaver Abba Marzen Toch Gimel V'Chenos Maisa. You can do Erusin within 3 months, and he says, and people do it. And you only need majority of 1 month, a majority of another month, and an entire middle month. So 30 plus 16 plus another 16. Okay, but you don't need 91 days. Amemar shar le'aris b'yom tishim. Amemar allowed a woman to get remarried after 90 days. Amalei Rav Ashi l'amemar b'ha Rav Ashi m'adam mitabar tzricha l'amtin gimel chadashim chutz miyom shem etzbo v'chutz miyom shenis arsebo. No. 90 days excluding the day of death and excluding the day that you do erusin. So you can't allow erusin on the 90th day. Ha'ul le'inyan me'nekes itmar. The Gemara says, no, that was involving a woman nursing, and that wasn't the 90 days, that was 24 months. The Rav Shmuel, the Rami Tavar, Tzvich Alam, Tink, Chav Dal, Chodesh, Chutz Mi Yom Shen Olbo, the Chutz Mi Yom Shen Estar Sabo. So the Gemara says that had nothing to do with the 90 days, that was about nursing. V'ahu Davat Sudas Erisim Yom Tishim V'afsede Rava L'Sudase. Rava heard a woman was getting remarried on the 90th day after the termination of her previous marriage. And Rava says, no good. And Rava says, you call the caterer? Rava says, I don't care. You call the caterer and say there's no simcha today. So the Gemara says, you know what offended him so much? That was a su'udas nisu'un, not a su'udas erusin. And finally, the Gemara concludes, and with this we conclude today. You have to wait 24 months. Chutz miyom shenol abo, v'chutz miyom shenistar sabo. A full 24 months. And finally, and you have to wait 3 months, 3-4 months, excluding the day of death and excluding the day of Erusin. No, I assume lunar months. I assume.